I didn't realize that we would begin at 20 minutes to 10. I thought we began at 10 o'clock. And I intended to talk to Charlene, our cantor, before our Mass began, but it got ahead of me, so I asked you to come here. We're planning a homily together here now. I want you to sing this, and then the third verse, okay? Keep over there to the microphone, okay? Yes. I'm going to ask her to sing a verse of one of my favorite hymns. You've heard it all before. It's Lift High the Cross. It was written by George Kitchen in 1887, and it's really an Easter hymn rather than a Good Friday hymn. So if you would please read the sing the stanza and then also the verse.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Each newborn follower of the crucified bears on the brow the seal of him who died.
And now together.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
Thank you very much, Charlene. My dear brother bishops, my dear brother priests, brother deacons, fellow religious, beloved seminarians, sisters, and brothers in Christ. Earlier this week, I went to Salt Lake City, Utah, actually to Provo, Utah, to BYU, Brigham Young University, to speak to 20,000 young Mormons at the chapel of the university. One of the things I discovered on that trip that was that traditionally for the Mormons, I don't think this is true today, but traditionally, the Mormons saw the cross, which is at the center of our worship, leads us in procession, at the center of most of our sanctuaries. But for the Mormons in their older tradition, the cross was considered the sign of the devil, which is very different from the hymn we just sang. Because for those of us who are Catholics, I think for the general Christian population in the world, the cross is the symbol of God's love for us, just the opposite. The hymn we just sang, as I mentioned, was written in the 19th century. It's an Easter hymn. It talks about the fact that those of us who are Christians are called to lift the cross high for people to see, which symbolizes the love of Christ proclaimed till all the world adore his sacred name. So for us, the cross is the sign of Christ's love for us, is a sign of his self-giving, self-sacrificing love. And the verse that we sang, I don't know if you paid close attention to it, it's verse 3 of that hymn. It reads this way: each newborn follower of the crucified, everyone who's baptized and everybody who is confirmed, bears on the brow the seal of him who died. You know, throughout our lives, we Christians who are baptized and confirmed carry on our forehead, on our brow, for the whole world to see, this symbol of Christ's love. We are marked with it, with that sign. Another word is anointed with that sign, with the sacred chrism which we bless in our liturgy today. So all of us in the church, from the newly baptized to those of us who serve the church as bishops, are commonly marked, anointed with the cross of Christ on our forehead to remind us and to remind the world that this is a sign of Christ's self-giving love. Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One. And from the earliest days of the Acts of the Apostles, those of us who follow him are called Christians, anointed, So what we celebrate today as we gather together, priests and deacons and religious and lay folks together in the church, what we do is celebrate our union in Jesus Christ through the oils that we celebrate in the life of the church on this Chrism Mass Thursday. So it's a symbol of all of us together. And because of that, this liturgy is considered by the church the moment that most clearly celebrates the unity of the church between the priests and their bishops and the laity and the clergy in the church. So we gather to celebrate our oneness, our care for one another in Jesus Christ. But this liturgy is also a time in which the church invites those of us who were called from the faithful who have been baptized, from the priesthood of the faithful, to the service of the church as ordained priest. And so, as is usually the case on Holy Thursday, I want to address the bulk of my reflections to my brother priests who are gathered with us today. My dear brother priests, we are celebrating this Chrism Mass in the Holy Year of Mercy, a time when our Holy Father Pope Francis has called the whole church to reflect on and experience the mercy of God. Pope Francis has very often pointed to the gospel story of the Good Samaritan as embodying what the virtue of mercy is all about. He did that again today in his homily in Rome. I don't know if you've read it already. But he points out the fact that the Good Samaritan, who bowed down in the service of the man on the side of the road, showed mercy. Pope Benedict XVI, in a very rare interview that was released last week, made a very interesting comment about that same gospel story. This is some of what he said. I quote him a bit at length, but I think very importantly. Pope Benedict said, "The parable of the Good Samaritan is particularly attractive to contemporary man. And not just because that parable strongly emphasizes the social dimension of Christian existence, nor only because in it the Samaritan, the man not religious, in comparison with the representatives of religion, seems as the one who acts in conformity with God, while the official representatives of religion seem, as it were, immune to God. This clearly pleases modern man." You know, in some way, modern man makes fun of those of us who are the official representatives of religion of the Catholic Church, and priests certainly are that, and bishops as well. Then the Pope goes on to say this: "It seemed just as important to me, nevertheless, that men in their intimate consciences expect the Samaritan will come to their aid, that he will bend down over them, pour oil on their wounds, care for them, and take them to safety. In the final analysis, they know they need God's mercy and tenderness." My dear brothers, we, you and I, are seen as the official representatives of religion. We are compared with the priest and the Levite in that parable story, who ignored the man suffering on the side of the road. There are some, even within the church, who experience us in that kind of way, as immune to the experience of God, as Pope Benedict said. Sometimes this is based on prejudice, and I think most of the time it's based on prejudice. But also sometimes it's based on their personal experience of our ministry to them. My dear brothers, everyone who meets us is looking for the mercy of God. Everyone, at all time. They want us to come to their aid, to bend down in humility, to pour oil on their wounds and take them to safety. Today's celebration is an occasion for all of us, who are priests and bishops, to recommit our priestly ministry to being a clear sign and sacrament of the mercy of God. We haven't always done that. Our Chrism Mass takes place on what has traditionally been called Maundy Thursday. That name is taken from the Latin word mandatum and refers to Jesus' command to love one another, as symbolized by Jesus' bending down and washing the dirty and tired feet of his sandaled apostles. After our liturgy here this morning, we, her priests, go home with the sacred oils to celebrate that command in our own parishes and ministries tonight. We should desire to be known there in our parishes and in our ministries as foot washers, as servants of our people, as ministers of hospitality to everyone in need of God's mercy. That's what they want and expect of us. And that's what God wants and expects of us as well. This year, in our parishes, there's been a change in the mandatum, in the washing of the feet ceremony. Perhaps you made this change even before it was allowed. You know, in the past, we were expected to wash the feet of men who symbolized the 12 apostles. In Rome, the Pope was always washing the feet of priests. In the cathedral here, over the past years, I've been washing the feet of seminarians, symbolizing the thing that Jesus did at the time of the Last Supper. But Pope Francis has invited us to wash the feet of everyone in the community, all members of the church, women as well as men, laity as well as clergy, the elderly, the young, those who are committed, maybe those who are not so committed. Because this act of washing feet is a symbol of the mercy of God, which is extended to the whole church. It's not only a ministry that the bishop should extend to his priests. I should be merciful to you, and you should be merciful to me as well. It isn't only the ministry that we serve or give to the people of our parishes, because they're supposed to wash one another's feet as well. This is part of the heart of the Christian identity. But you and I who are priests are called to model that so that our communities truly become communities of feet washers. You know, everyone has tired feet today. You know, although we don't wear sandals, you know, we're made dirty by the lives we live in this world that are so complex and so difficult. And we long for someone to draw us into the heart and mercy of God, as symbolized by the story of the Good Samaritan. So, when you go home this evening, my dear brothers, with those sacred oils that we bless at Mass today, commit yourself to love your people in the way that Jesus loves us. As Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist and stooped down to wash feet, he teaches us to be servants and to lay down our lives for our people. With those people, each of us also on our brow bear the seal of him who died for us. They are our flesh and blood. They are our brothers and our sisters. We are their fathers. They are our children. We are a family of faith together. So my prayer as we celebrate together today is that our ministry as priests will embody the self-giving sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, a sacrifice that showed its intensity by his death on the cross. May our ministry lift high in our local communities for everyone to see the love of Christ. May our lives embody the spirit of the Good Samaritan for everyone to see.